text comes from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, it's one of the Apostle Paul's most poignant and recurring terms. He uses that to describe the church. And I have always taken that to mean, quite literally, that the church is called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, walking where he would go, reaching those to whom he would touch. It is the essence of what ministry is, equipping the saints through many and various ways, some apostles, teachers, pastors, medics, and so on, doing what it is they do to build up the body of Christ. One of the things I've noticed over the years in being a part of several different portions of the body of Christ is that from time to time, the body of Christ is torn down by efforts to argue about the best way to build it up. I find that sort of ironic, paradoxical, and subject today to comment and perhaps critique. Three things that were unusual in my life happened to us this week, all of which quite remarkable and quite nice. We had a three-year-old on the territory all week long in the house, bouncing off the walls. We had a wedding Friday and Thursday. And on Wednesday, Jane Davis from the Christian Church and I went to the annual agency conference put on by the South Plains Food Bank because we're a part of the mobile pantry program, and there were several hundred people there telling stories, learning, and strategizing how better to do this work. All of these events, seemingly disparate in their detail, have, as I thought this week, something of a unifying theme. And I'll just simply tell you what that is at the outset, give you the punchline first. I think that the building up of the body of Christ begins and ends and is sustained by the idea that in our work and in our lives, people come first. People first. Quite frankly, from my personal and professional point of view, this was not the most convenient week to have a three-year-old bouncing off the walls in our house. I got a lot of stuff I got to do. I'm behind on some paperwork. We gathered some data all this last year for our research project. My statistician has been in the hospital and is not well and is recovering, so we've been delayed. I got some stuff I got to do. I got to put together some statistical models. We've got a conference coming up in November where we've got a pretty significant presentation to do, and that presentation at the moment is in pieces in papers on my desk, not the least bit organized. I've got to finish a book chapter and write another one by October. Those are sitting on my desk and next to it. Quite frankly, the paperwork is piling up. And here's Lily, the three-year-old. I was at my desk looking at some of this stuff, sending an email here, and all of a sudden here, "Papa, look!" Well, that was a recurring theme all week long. "Papa, look! Graham, come here! What, you know?" She had one of her mother's old bridesmaid dresses on and was playing princess dress up, and of course we needed to look. And we needed to go to the pool, and we needed to go here and there and do this or that, and virtually no paperwork got done. And about an hour into Lily's visit, I just simply decided, you know what? People before paperwork. I've been worse behind than this before, and if I stay behind, the world won't end. And it's really a no-brainer in some sense when you have the obvious presence of such new young life. Lily is 3 years and 46 weeks old. The next time we see her, she will be 3 weeks and 49 weeks old. And the time after that, she will be 4 years old. And 6 months after that, she will be 16. People come before paperwork for the building up of the body of Christ that is our family, that is our source of hope, inspiration, and strength. People also come before principle. I was taught by a group of rather forthright, hard-headed, Germanic Lutheran theologians and liturgists. I was taught some very significant and and very ironclad things about how you do and how you don't do weddings. For one thing, you have lengthy and rigorous premarital counseling. All right. Strict attention to liturgy, doctrine, and detail. Minimize and seek to eliminate shallow sentimentality. Don't just do any old wedding for any old person. Do some screening. You don't want to be like the Marion Sam character in the Lil Abner comic. That's what I was taught 30 years ago. I have, quite frankly, come off of almost all of that. But in fact, from time to time, while being a sociologist is generally very helpful to my ministry, there are times when it, in this instance, gets in the way. Because what's one person's shallow sentimentality is another woman's lifelong dream. And some of what becomes sentimental at a wedding is subject to sociological critique, which I cannot avoid. For example, there's this part in traditional weddings where the minister asks, who gives this woman to be married to this man, right? Well, that is a remnant of what is, in effect, a transfer of property rights. The old answer is, I do, her father, because he's the only one that could speak for the family, and he handed over the care and feeding of the woman from him to the husband, and her identity was and only what it was in relation to these two men. Well, now a more modern response is typically her mother and I do. And that softens it somewhat, but it still doesn't eliminate this property idea. Well, I learned not too terribly long ago that there's a way to finesse the ritual, which dads of brides really like, and the sociology of it by giving the dad a new line, by asking him to consider saying, when asked, who gives this woman? She gives herself freely, with our blessing. Well, her mother and I was the best I could do. Okay, that's fine. So we go through the rehearsal on Thursday, and at the very end, there's a last line. And then I said at the rehearsal to Josh and Casey, I said, if you're going to kiss, this would be a good time to do it. Let's not make it one of those get a room kisses, okay? And Casey said, well, aren't you going to say you may now kiss the bride? And I said, well, you really don't need my permission for this. Which goes to the larger issue. They're marrying each other. I'm not marrying them. I get to stand and watch, but it's by their own promises they marry each other. It's a subtle difference. But she said, well, can you please say it? And I said, sure, I'll say that, and then I'll say you can now join hands, and you can now walk down the aisle, and then you can now turn left. Please, sure. Why? Because people come before principle. And the larger issue here is what churches and ministers have been doing since churches and ministers got the idea they had power. It would, in retrospect, chagrin me deeply if it were known that in the aftermath of a wedding or a funeral or a baptism or any such thing, the reaction was, well, you know, it came off pretty well, but I wish that nitwit minister hadn't done that. Or I would have been a lot happier if he had allowed us to do this. And you know what? If one day of your life you want it to look like the movies, that's okay with me, in retrospect. And so we said, you may now kiss the bride, because people come before principle. And let it not be that we trip people up with silly things. People come before paperwork. People come before principle. People come before politics. Janie and I went to this conference where 500 plus people from many and various, typically Christian backgrounds, came together to talk about feeding the hungry. We were having lunch. Our lunch table included a couple of folks from the Church of Christ in Abernathy. And then there was a list of, people got certificates, and there was a list of agencies and organizations that were there. First Baptist Church from this town, First Nazarene Church from another town, Presbyterian, Methodist, all manners of denominations, gathering for one purpose, to figure out how we are and how to better equip the food bank to feed the hungry. What was interesting to me is that with all of these very different and often contentious Christian denominations present, not once did I hear anybody talk about biblical inerrancy. We didn't spend any time at all figuring out who was going to heaven and who wasn't. Nobody mentioned immigration policy. Nobody mentioned reproductive health or rights. We never talked about same-sex marriage. Not once. Which is not to say that all of these issues can, maybe even should be, discussed and debated with some sense of dignity across the body of Christ. There are reasonable differences that can be discussed and reasonably different practices that can be put into place about all of these things. But my contention is that since we are, in fact, one body, if one part of the body's deal is to take a particular position on reproductive health or same-sex marriage that's different from another part of the body's, just don't get in each other's way, because there are people who need to be served in many and various ways on those issues. More importantly than that, and I think this was the key insight from spending time with 500 very differently theologically oriented people in light of the work of the South Plains Food Bank. If you're going to argue about biblical inerrancy, if you're going to argue about same-sex marriage or immigration policy, let's at least wait until everybody's had dinner. Then we'll argue. Let's get the feeding done before we start dealing with politics. Why? Because people come before politics. One of the things that we did with Lily this week was take her to Critterfest at the Science Spectrum Museum. Big event. Elephants, camels, tigers, lions. We spent about 20 minutes looking at the really cool big animals, and about 2.5 hours in the playroom, which is there and open to all 3- and 4-year-olds any day of the year. You don't have to go there with 10,000 other people and try to find a parking place to spend 2 hours in the playroom, but that's where we were. Well, you look around when you're in the playroom, because there's not much else to do for 2.5 hours except see what's what. And on one of the walls in the artist area of the playroom was a poem that got our attention a little bit. It says this: "I tried to teach my child with books. He gave me only puzzled looks. I tried to teach my child with words. They passed by her, often unheard. Despairingly, I turned aside. How shall I teach this child? I cried. Excuse me. Into my hand, she put the key. Come, he said, play with me. Play with me. Ah, I don't have time for that. I got paperwork to do. Ah, I don't have time for that. There are principles to be upheld. Oh, I'm not sure I can play now. There are politics to be dealt with. Well, wait a second. Maybe some of you have noticed a little hanging in the back of the church. It said, if there's no humor involved, it's not the church for me. That's there by design. Because it seems to me that if we play just a little before we encounter or deal with the things that are difficult, well, we might make the process a little bit less difficult. And that's certainly true with children. Play a little bit. And then I'll bet you can get them to eat their supper. I bet it's harder if you won't play first. I want to show you one other thing. This piece of paperwork showed up on my desk this week. It's just a scrawl sketch. I'm sure that she'd gotten a hold of a little gizmo we've got running around, laying around the house. It's like a kaleidoscope. It's one of these magic eye things. And she drew it and left it on Papa's desk. Well, I'll take all the paperwork like this on my desk that will come my way. Because it came from a person who's pretty darn special. Well, all of us are special people. All of us are equipped in our own way to do what God has called us to do. And maybe that plays itself out in a variety of ways. Teaching, and so on. A medic on a flight, showing honored respect to veterans. All of this is what Paul means by equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And equipping the saints means, above all, people first. People before paperwork, principle, politics. People together, being the body of Christ. Amen.